one and all, once again to Dual Worlds in episode 17. Joining me this week, we have Anthony.
What's up, everybody?
Jason.
Hola.
And Daniel.
Hello.
I think this week we're going to start differently, just because I think there's a whole lot of news to get through. So we're going to start with the news this week, and there's really no place to start other than the 3DS announcement, or announcements of the 3DS this week.
Is that like a new PlayStation Portable?
It's the PlayStation Phone, actually. It's a joint venture between Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft.
Awesome.
It's the one console future. But for those who don't know, the 3DS is Nintendo's new handheld. It's successor to the DS, I should say. And it features gracious 3D. I guess we can start with the official announcement of the price if you are in North America. I guess we can go with Daniel, since he gets to see all of these various prices for his country.
What do you think? I think the price for North... It's nice that Nintendo actually gave a price for North America anyway, which is more than they did for Europe, because like, oh, we'll just see what the retailers have got for you.
That's kind of what their little strategy is with their games right now.
Yeah. And so it's nice to see that. I think I can't justify going out and buying a handheld for almost the same price as a PS3.
And more than their console.
And more than their own home console. But, I don't know, it's just nice that they gave you Americans a price.
The thing about, like, I've seen that on the internet, a lot of people saying, why would I do this when I go out and buy, you know, a console that's, out there for $50 more. But when you think about it, Xbox came out in 2005, and the Wii and PS3 came out in 2006. So those consoles are coming up to 5 and 6 years old, and this is brand new tech and a brand new system itself.
Yeah, and think of it this way, too. It's a way for people who might be interested in 3D to get a sampling of it, to get a gaming experience in 3D without shelling out $1,000 plus for a 3D TV and then a PS3 or 360 on top of that, you know? So in some ways, it's kind of cheap. I don't know.
I think the 3D gimmick is what's going to be. It's going to pull people in whether they like it or not.
How far do you think the 3D is going to take it, though? Because, I mean, it's like they built the system around 3D, but on the same hand, you can nuke it so you don't have to use the console in 3D. So it's like, is any game going to be built where you need 3D on?
Well, I think that some stuff like, say, the Professor Layton game, I think that if they did not do 3D-based puzzles, they would be missing out on a huge opportunity. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's just a nicer visual feature, and some developers will use it, like Zach and Wiki used specific stuff with the Wii Remote way back when that came out. But I think for the most part, especially a few months, a year down the line, that it's just going to be just a visual novelty.
Yeah, which is, it's going to do well the first year. I mean, I already know people on Twitter or in real life who are just like, I have to pre-order this, I have to get this, because if I don't get it at launch, I'm not going to get it for the rest of the year. And they already got that kind of mental momentum going for them, where people have to get it just because they have to get it, not because they want it or they'll need it. But, you know, like, eventually I'm going to want it and I'm not going to be able to get it, so people are just going to buy it now.
Now, go on.
I can't help but think that Nintendo's relying on what happened with the Wii, where it fell into shortages. I think they're relying on that.
I don't think they're relying on it, but...
Because Wii shortages, just think of it this way, right? The shortages of Wii for the 2 years that happened, it was a great marketing for Nintendo.
Yep.
You know? So I can't help but think that, yeah, the hype, the price is... We have, like, this fairly high price that when you compare it to other things, but I think if they may engineer shortages.
I mean, as much as people say that's good marketing, it never really makes sense to engineer, because you're losing out on money. If you can produce this many systems and people are going to buy it because they're afraid it's not going to be on shelves, you put out all of those systems and you have people buy them at that price.
However,
because Nintendo doesn't make money if somebody buys like three 3DSs and put them on eBay for $500.
In the case of Europe, we know exactly how much they're worth because Nintendo said, oh, we'll see what prices the retailers have for you. And they started going up, like 230 quid on 220 quid. And then somebody, I don't know if it was Nintendo that officially announced this, but apparently it costs the store £173 per unit to buy them off Nintendo. So we know how much the store is marking it up by when they do mark it up. I don't know if that will change anything, but
I don't think it's going to change anything, because at the end of the day, if you want one, you're going to pay.
But then it's going to change how and when I buy one.
It'll change, because basically what Nintendo's doing in Europe is taking advantage of the whole eBay shortage thing that Daniel was talking about before, because now the retailers can drive up the price as much as they want based on like supply and demand. And if there's only enough supply that the people who are willing to pay like £300 for one can get one, it's going to happen. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not no different than what stores do here, where they kind of force bundles onto certain things. Like, there was a time where you could only buy a 360 or PS3 or Wii with like a bundle of like, three games that you don't necessarily want.
Right, but this way, they won't even have to do that.
But I'm saying it's the same type of principle. Like, it's not something that's new. It's not some. I mean, I understand it would have been easier if Nintendo had said, okay, you sell it for £200 or whatever. And I really wish they had a uniform pricing system. I really don't know why they didn't announce a price.
The thing I think is silly is that if we pay 230 quid, it's the equivalent of something like $350.
Oh, wow.
Michael Pachter must be happy about that. We're paying the amount of money that he wants Nintendo to charge.
I don't know. I mean, it's huge that the prices vary, almost $100 across the three regions?
Yeah.
Because it's roughly $300 in Japan, $250 in the States, and then whatever they're paying.
Then again, how many times have I said that nobody gives a shit about Europe? Because they don't.
We care about Europe.
Of course.
So it is Nintendo. You're going to help them go in the back because the American dollar is kind of weak, so why not price
it without you? Any more money than they already have.
They do have too much money.
They made losses last time they did a thing, didn't they?
They've only made losses, I think, twice in their history, and once was last year, and that was because they took the entire year loss in one quarter instead of doing it.
Speaking of splitting up into quarters, regarding what you said a little bit earlier, Earl, about them, you know, wanting to get the 3DS because they think that if they don't get it now, they're not going to get it for a while. Nintendo's projections for the numbers that they are releasing, I forget, was it like 4 million across the entire world for the year?
It's for their quarter year.
I know. That's what I'm saying, is that a lot of people said red as year, but that's just their fiscal year, which I believe ends in like March or April.
March
31st. So, I mean, it's 2.5 million between Europe and the States, and that's a week.
Yep.
So, I mean, and Japan's getting 1.5 million, I think, for theirs is about a month and a half between.
I wouldn't be surprised if Japan sold 4 million on their own.
Have you seen that they had a lineup for pre-orders of the console in Japan?
Yeah.
It's already sold out, pre-orders there.
Which is insane. Like I said, Nintendo's going to kill this year. The problem is if they can keep the momentum going next year and the year after, and that's going to come more. That's going to be more with games than it is going to be with gimmicks in the 3D.
Let's put it this way. I mean, if we're going to like move on to games, you know, some people are upset that you don't really have any heavy hitters in America. Or much less in Japan, like what we're expecting, Ocarina of Time, Star Fox, Kid Icarus, those titles. But at the same time, think about what DS had when it came out. It was like Mario. They got Mario, but then there was like Ping Pals and...
It was Field of...
Field of Magic?
Yeah, there we go.
WarioWare?
No, I don't think WarioWare was a launch title for
it.
Was it not?
The DS had a really crappy first year. Most people... I mean, the DS does well, but most people don't realize that it's like 2006 when they had like Mario Kart DS.
I bought a DS the first day it came out, so I know very... I don't think I bought a game for about a year after...
The launch window, they're going to have a Mario Kart out and stuff like that by the end of the launch window, which is by the end of June.
I don't think... No, Mario Kart's not out by the end of the launch window.
Really?
Ocarina, Kid Icarus, and Star Fox, I think. But I don't think Mario Kart either.
Yeah, I don't, because they haven't really shown anything about Mario Kart. Like, we know it exists. They showed, like, a brief trailer of it during E3, but other than that, they haven't mentioned it. I mean, I think the only games Nintendo has for launch, the launch window, I think Nintendo has
Pilot
Steel Wings. Driver, Pilot Wings, and Nintendogs plus Cats. And then I assume throughout the rest of the year would be Kid Icarus, Zelda, yeah. Star Fox, and... Yeah, like, we don't even have a release date for Paper Mario, which honestly is the one game I'm looking forward to. Which is ironic with this console, at least in my opinion, is that it has more strong third-party support than it does first-party support.
I think that's intentional, though.
I mean, I think it is, but it's kind of weird that usually Nintendo has... Like, I'm not saying they don't have big games, but you have Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4, you have Resident Evil, Mercenaries, Resident Evil... What's the other one called?
I forget.
Resident Evil?
The actual Resident Evil. The
game.
Good Resident Evil. Even though Mercenaries are pretty awesome, I'm not really...
Oh, I love Mercenaries.
Mercenaries
I'm not
is fun.
Idea of being in its entire game.
If Capcom was smart or whatever, they would release it as like a $20 game that people can just impulse buy with their console.
I think that would make more sense.
Unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
No, not a chance in hell.
What else is there? Dead or Alive, which apparently might have Samus, or at least it has a stage from Other M.
Yeah, has Ridley in the background.
Yeah, and...
And all the characters freeze up and they get scared.
Damn it, you stole my joke. Well, no, only the female characters. The male characters shoot him.
The ones that you thought were strong.
Shit. Do you have Tourette's going on over there?
Oh, no. That's just what Samus seemed like she was like during that part.
What else is there? I'm sure there's other third-party stuff. I mean, you get the typical support from EA. You get your Madden and, I think, Tiger Woods.
I've got the list of the launch window games here.
Okay.
Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor Overclocked from Atlus. Super Street Fighter 4 3D. Resident Evil Mercenaries. Madden NFL, The Sims 3, Pro Evo 2011, Lego Star Wars 3, Ridge Racer. Oh, that's obligatory, isn't it?
Hey, Daniel, do you guys get Madden in the UK? I'm curious. Because in Spain, they didn't have Madden.
I think we do.
It just doesn't sound anywhere near as much.
Oh, no.
Back to Ridge Racer real quick. Is that, have to be at everybody's launch window?
Yeah, I noticed that. That's why I said obligatory, because...
They come out with Ridge Racer once a generation, and it's a launch title.
Franchise.
And never again.
I played it, and it sucked.
Which sounds like Ridge Racer, which is why they bring it out at launch, because there's no other options. It's not like you have competition.
I think you just stop making Ridge Racer games.
But they don't have...
Yeah. Dual Pen Sports, whatever that is. Oh, Dual Pen Sports. If it's exactly what its name says, then yay. Super Monkey Ball, that seems like a launch title thing.
Super Monkey Ball actually seems like it'd be pretty interesting.
It would be interesting. I mean, the franchise has kind of waned recently. Like, I don't even... Like, what is it? There's two or three of them on the Wii, and I don't think anybody cares about them.
I think that's one franchise that would lend itself well to 3D.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people have been saying that, especially with Steel Diver, as you turn the screen, because you have to look through the viewfinder, the 3D gets, instead of it being moving with you, it just gets blurry and stuff, and you have to kind of center it again.
It'd be interesting
to see whether it's just a software thing, or whether it's actually sort of supposed to happen.
It's probably a software thing where you'd have to program the gyroscope to move the 3D thing, while you're turning it. Otherwise, how is the system going to know if it's not programmed to recognize the gyroscope?
That's the kind of thing with Zelda is that with Ocarina of Time, the way that you can aim the screenshot and the bow and anything in first person if you want, you can just tilt the 3DS, but... You have that, and like you guys are saying, when you start to tilt that sweet spot away from you, the 3D image leaves. But who knows? Maybe you have the option to turn 3D off when you're moving stuff. Who knows?
I find it weird, because I could have sworn that was one of the things Nintendo said is they would try to avoid. Because motion and 3D do not seem to go hand in hand on that console, and I would assume that would be the one thing they try to avoid and not put into two of their games. I assume it's going to be the same thing with Pilot Wings.
Yeah, probably. Back to the list, we've got Thor God of Thunder, which I assume is to do with the movie. Crush 3D, Buster Move Universe, Samurai Warriors, Digital Life Dimensions, Asphalt 3D, Ghost Recon Shadow Wars, Combat of Giants, Dinosaurs 3D, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell 3D, Rayman 3D, and because it's Ubisoft, there's a Rabbids game on there as well.
You don't know. Let's not say there's a Rabbids. That game actually looks pretty awesome. It's a 2D side-scroller, which is kind of awesome.
I miss those commercials with those Rabbids.
Yeah.
I like the one that's like, play with your butt.
Yeah. Is that TV Party?
Yeah.
Yeah, the game is a 2D side-scroller, which is kind of awesome. It's not like a mini-game collection or... What is it? Go Home? Is that the one that's
Rabbids Go Home?
Yeah, is that the Katamari-type one?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's. They go to the moon or whatever.
I mean, granted, I don't like the fact that it's a sequel franchise, but I do like the fact that it's not always just mini-game collections anymore.
Yeah.
So that's a positive.
It'd be nice to see a new Rayman game.
Well, you have Rayman 3D, and isn't there Rayman Origins this year?
I know, they just said, oh, we've got Rayman Origins. Yeah, we got Rayman Origins, and we're not going to say anything. Actually, saying that, I can't think of anything that Ubisoft has spoken about at E3 and then said anything about since. Because does anyone remember the
energy?
Does anyone remember the
it's a tag game?
But there was a beta that was supposed to be in the summer, and it never happened.
Yeah, I thought that game was supposed to come out last fall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff they haven't done, like Energy, which was their little vitality sensor. They had the laser tag game, which they haven't mentioned since.
They looked at all the reactions like, okay, let's silently bin this.
I want them to come up with it just because we had to sit through an hour of watching that stuff.
And also there's Kid Icarus Uprising, to Ocarina of Time, Pilot Wings, Nintendogs and Cats.
Nintendogs and Cats is launch.
Yeah.
These are launch window games, so...
Well, Nintendogs and Cats is a launch title, but... Yeah, the launch is not really that strong. And from what I understand, even Ocarina of Time isn't getting any type of new content.
Kotaku or Joystick said they confirmed that Ocarina of Time was coming out June 2nd via GameStop.
That's the GameStop retailers where I think they have something like 6 Nintendo games coming out on June 2nd.
Right. They said, there was like 7 of their top-tier games, but for some reason, out of that list, they confirmed in their text that said Ocarina of Time is coming out June 2nd, which that can't be right because no one else has reported it, but I don't know why they'd write that.
I mean, it would kind of make... I mean, it's just a graphical conversion of a game they've redone like twice now, so...
But there are... Everything they're redoing it, isn't it? I mean, not redoing it, but it's not just like
it's not just a port of.
Yeah, it's not a port. It's a they're upresing everything. They're tweaking the water temple or whatever. Like,
but they're not tweaking the water temple. I think they're changing it so you can have easier access to your menu.
Oh, okay. Well, still,
this is what GameStop had to say specifically about it. It said the Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time for 3DS was specifically confirmed as a June 2nd release date. All other games' dates are tentative and unconfirmed by their publisher.
Huh, fair enough. But, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, and I would assume that Kid Icarus would probably be their big holiday title. I do find it kind of strange, and I mean, I guess it can work either way, that they're coming out
Mario
with Pokemon Black and White before, like a week before the 3DS launches.
Well, because you can still play it on your 3DS.
You can still play it on it, but it's kind of like, you know, I can either get this new system or I can buy... Like, Pokemon is the biggest handheld franchise.
And right, so they're going to... the way they're doing it is they're going to keep moving DSs because Pokemon's just going to come out.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying.
And then
like,
a week later, they're going to start rolling out a new, you know, the
surprise,
3DS.
New console!
Yeah, they're just in a way it's actually a very smart move because
like I said, it can go either way. It could be I guess Fire Princess was a bit different since it was actually released on two different consoles. So it's not like you could buy one version. Well, actually you could buy the GameCube version if you had on your Wii, but
as far as I'm concerned, Black and White coming out on the DS may be an odd decision, but it means I don't have to go and buy a £230 console to play more Pokemon.
Which was my point. It's like, if you should have, you know, like I imagine that Pokemon Gray or whatever you want to call it, Black and White, third part will be a 3DS exclusive with a certain 3DS region that's, and maybe a 3D Pokemon.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, you mean like the Pokemon game we wanted to come out since the GameCube released and they never did actually, did
no,
it?
No, I mean, they did that and it was really bad.
Well, I think people want like an actual Pokemon.
That's what I'm saying is everyone's been wanting it since the GameCube came out and they sort of half did it with Colosseum and
I think
they had that Gale of Darkness one.
But that was just Colosseum with a different character.
I think they don't want
to. Clearly, I didn't play it, so
they don't want to do it because of all the work involved. Because I mean, what is there? 450 characters you have to model. They'd have to. You can't get away with
over 600 now.
You can't get away with the battle stuff you get on the DS or the handhelds, where you just kind of have.
The problem, though, is they had most of it done in Colosseum and Gale of Darkness, and the only real difference was that you couldn't just go out and catch Pokemon.
Yeah, but it's not just Pokemon. You have to build worlds and towns and shop. You know what happened with Final Fantasy XIII.
They did it. That's what I'm saying. They did the towns. They didn't do the routes between the towns, but they did the towns. They did all the animations. They did all the battling effects. They did, even for, what was it? Pokemon Battle Revolution, they had a guy who was commentating on the battles. So they've done all that. So they just need to they just need to put roots in and grass so we can catch wild Pokemon and a proper Pokemon style story. And then you've done it. I don't understand why they half-assed it like they did all three times.
I honestly played Pokemon Stadium and that was it. So I don't know what the other ones have. I just know Pokemon Stadium had mini games and Pokemon battles. And even then you didn't have access to all the Pokemon, so.
Hopefully they'll do it with the 3DS. Because I will buy one in an instant if they do that.
We'll see. I mean, Pokemon's their biggest franchise that they do, really don't change.
Yeah, but all they need to do is just make them like they do now, just with really highly detailed environments and highly detailed Pokemon that are in 3D.
Yeah, but like I said...
No, but Earl's right, though. Then they have to, you know, like the battle animations they have to do for however many thousand moves all the Pokemon have together.
Well, a lot of the time, I was fine with what they had in Colosseum, where they would just like step forward and there'd be some sort of...
But you would be fine with that, but I don't think everybody, you know, like some people be like, you know, this feels cheap and Nintendo should have, like they, you know, the Pokemon should actually have to connect and stuff.
Yeah.
Would you accept that on a console RPG if you pressed an attack and something happened on the other side of the screen and you didn't move? It would be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
It does that half the time with Final Fantasy XIII, I swear. No, I'm only kidding.
We're not going to insult Final Fantasy XIII any more than we have to, especially with Chad not around.
Well, but there's a sequel now.
Think about the battles in these Pokemon games as if it was from a 3DS perspective. You don't have to have it like they did in Pokemon Stadium and Colosseum, where like when you're choosing, it was just rotating around the Pokemon. It could easily just be more like essentially an HD version of the perspective you have and putting 3D to make the Pokemon you're fighting seem farther away.
Which, I think people accept that on the handheld. I don't think they would accept it as easily on a console.
Well, we're talking about a handheld.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I thought he was talking about a console version.
No.
Oh, I'm assuming at this point Nintendo has to Pokemon Black and White, from what I understand, really does up the graphical style of it.
It does quite a lot, but they could do a lot, because the 3DS is obviously going to be a lot more powerful than the standard DS. I think that with the 3DS they could truly have, so like in the DS, in Black and White, you'll see a lot, the draw distance will be low, so when you're crossing this big bridge, you won't see a lot of it, whereas in the 3DS they could just have like a background to it, you know? So they could squeeze a lot out of it.
They could do adventures and stuff, like they have the 3-on-3 battles, maybe they could have three-dimensional battles now.
The cartridges can have like 8 gigs of storage on them, so... There's a lot they'll be able to do with that.
Yes, but, you know, they're going to have to do Pokemon Gray, and then they'll probably do a remake of another, I guess, Ruby and Sapphire.
The problem is the battery life as it is.
If the battery life of Pokemon won't be that bad. It's like 8 to 10 hours, I assume.
Well, no, I mean, like, if they had a 3DS version.
Yeah, at that point, you can expect the 3DS i or the 3DS Lite.
Yeah,
that's true.
So,
and I mean, we will shamelessly go buy this first version.
I won't.
Okay, I'm not going. Shut up. You all can go to hell.
Well, I would if. I mean, I just won't play it. To be totally honest, I can put my $250 towards other things.
Yes, you can buy more Black Ops maps or something.
Ooh.
Because those are only, what, $50 a pop nowadays?
Hey, I'm looking forward to those maps.
Ooh.
I'll get the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit add-on packs.
I will be waiting for Paper Mario 3DS. Once that's out, I'm going to, I can't really say no to Paper Mario. I'm really hoping that means that Mario and Luigi's team, Alpha Dream, are working on a Wii version. I doubt that, but I can dream.
You can dream, just like I'm dreaming about a Wii. That would be freaking awesome on 3DS. F-Zero. F-Zero, like the one on GameCube on 3DS.
That would be... Actually, I can see people getting sick on that, too. Oh. If you're going that fast...
That sounds amazing, actually. F-Zero 3D.
I know.
Awesome. There's your killer app, Nintendo.
Well, this I don't think fun. Nintendo's going to have a problem Nintendo's not going to have a problem finding a killer app. I don't think it's anything they have right now, but I don't think they need one this year.
I mean, Anthony just gave them one.
I can give a lot more, too.
Are you applying for a job?
No, God. We'll talk about my current job later. And why I need a vacation.
From playing video games.
Yeah.
The other thing, and me and Jason had this discussion throughout Twitter this week, is the virtual shop or the eShop or whatever they want to call it for the 3DS, which has... I think it's been confirmed that now it's day one.
Yep.
It's going to be a firmware update on day one.
Yes. And originally it was supposed to come something. Well, I assume what happened is that it's not ready to go, and they're already producing the 3DSs, as we know, because somebody stole one off production line recently, and the Japanese launch is within a month. I assume that it's not ready for Japan's launch, but it will be ready for when it launches in the States and Europe.
Okay.
And I'm assuming it's going to, the second batch of stuff will probably come built in, but yeah, the problem is, it's like, is Nintendo not taking it seriously if it wasn't available for launch or whatever? I mean, not that it is.
Not that I need any more web browsers on my devices, but I really hope to God that the web browser on the 3DS does not suck as bad as it does on the DSi.
I forget mine even has a freaking web browser because of how irrelevant and how really crappy it is.
Yeah, it fills up memory pretty damn fast. Yeah, and it's Opera?
So does the PS3's browser fill up with memory so fast?
I actually don't use my... I don't like navigate it on my PS3 with the controller.
Like the two times I used it, it was impossible because it just ran out of memory.
Yeah, I mean, people used to complain about the 360 not having a web browser, but really it would have just been a waste of time.
Microsoft made the good choice not putting a web browser on their 360.
I completely agree at this point. They're so clunky.
Now we're in a time where a lot of people have smartphones that actually can use a web browser properly.
Yeah, it's
with their phone service connection.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. If the 3DS had a always on 3G internet or something like that, it would make more sense. But there's a lacking feature in today's handheld market.
Again, I guess it depends. I really don't see it being... I guess it depends on the type of online system they plan on having. And I guess this can go into friend codes as well. Which, I'm happy that they're doing a unified friend code system for the handheld and not per game or...
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
The problem is Nintendo have only just caught on. And, Microsoft has been doing this for 7 years now.
Yep.
Well, I mean, on the same hand, it's not like, I mean, I honestly don't use it that often, so I could be mistaken, but it's not like the PSP is that far advanced.
No, but what I'm saying is at least with the PSP, you still have one name, really.
You'd probably be willing to bet the PSP PSP 2 is probably going to.
The PSP 2 will for sure have your PlayStation.
I assume
probably
it's
the same one
XMB.
You have on your PS3. Yeah. You know.
I'm surprised they haven't cross integrated that more because those two consoles work hand in hand for the most part.
It was because of all the piracy and stuff, I think. That's why they said they don't have trophies on PSP. Was because all the piracy.
Yeah, but they're going to remove trophies on the PS3 now.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's the thing.
But they already threatened
Sony just sucks the security, apparently.
But I honestly, I mean, personally, I don't get the big deal with pirating trophies. Like, if you're really that insecure in your gameplay that you want to hype up a number that nobody sees but your friends, that's your prerogative. I mean, if it's something that ruins it for other people, like when they actually hack a game and, you know, they start breaking stuff and stuff, that's an issue. If you're just doing it to raise your trophy score, that's nothing. But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think Nintendo needs to work on with their online store is pricing. Because honestly, it's the same issue this is the one issue I think people have with the Apple-Android comparison, is that I can buy games for $2 or $3 on my phone. The cheapest games you can find on the DSiWare store is like $5.
$2.
I thought most of those were like Flashlights and Discolights.
A lot of them are, but there are a couple worthwhile ones at $2 that I can't really bring from the top of my head, which shows how relevant DSiWare is.
I think that's the biggest issue to me is advertising, really. Cause look at, you know, PS3 and 360, you know, you're blasted with ads for all their online content all the time. Which is a good thing because you know what's on there, you know what's new, you know what's coming out soon. With Wii and DS, that is completely non-existent. You have to personally be, like, researching what is new, what's coming.
Well, either that or you're...
They don't help you out at all.
I was about to say, either that or you are signed up for My Nintendo, because they send out a weekly newsletter every Friday.
Nintendo Channel itself on the Wii is actually pretty neato. It's got a bunch of videos and...
The problem with that, again, though, is...
But again, you have to access that yourself,
It's not like you can... It's not like... If they had, like, a scroll, like, new on the Wii Shop channel...
Well, how many of you, honestly, because this is what I did on my Xbox, how many of you just... When, you know, Xbox had that little welcome screen, how many of you disabled that just because you got tired of seeing it?
I don't disable it. I don't pay attention to it, but, you know, I have to, you know, because if I want to go to Netflix and stuff, it's much easier than going out of a game and navigating back. But, yeah, I don't pay attention to it. Sometimes it does help. That's how I got the Mass Effect DLC, because it's like you turn on the system, Mass Effect DLC, 66% off.
I'm saying that
I boot to the dashboard myself.
Yeah, same.
There's a difference between... impulse buys, which you have on the iPhone or something, rather than something you want to invest $8 to $10 in, as in an XBLA, WiiWare, PSN game. And then if you actually want to spend the money on that, I mean, I agree that Nintendo could do more, but I think that with their promotion they have on the Nintendo channel with videos with, for example, Fluidity came out in November or December, they had a bunch of coverage for that and even developer voices.
Yeah. Again, I think the Nintendo channel is an awesome feature. But it's not something that's built into the system. You have to download it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, you have to check it out every week when they add stuff.
I think Nintendo should advertise and, like, just do a little featured section on whatever the eShop or whatever and say, here are some cool little things that are out.
Ironically, Nintendo's the only ones I know who actually have advertised their DLC. Because they actually they had commercials for WiiWare. I know they had one specifically for Pokemon Rumble.
I'm saying, if you go into the Wii Shop channel, they do have a featured section. And they do have most downloaded as well and most popular.
They have a ton of awesome features. Like, they have the recommendations, which you can go to, and it's like people rank the games they play. It's like gold, silver, and stuff, so you know what games are, you know, like user-based voting, which is a nice feature for, you know, if you want research, you can get user opinions right there and then. The problem with all of these is, one, people don't know about it, and two, you have to search it out and access it yourself.
I think also what Nintendo need to do with the eShop is, so with the iPhone, you pay $99 and you download, you get access, you can then publish your apps in the App Store, and you can get the development tools for free. I think Nintendo need to do something like that, because...
To allow just any developer bring their stuff on?
Yeah, because...
Then you end up with the Wii.
Wait. This is Nintendo we're talking about here.
This is their seal of quality that doesn't allow shit to come out.
They're
the biggest control freaks in the industry.
They'll need to have an approval process. they'll need to have an approval process, but I think that it, because the DS is also one of those, because it has a touchscreen and it's a handheld, and I think that it could be a really good place to get the little games like Angry Birds and stuff. And if a lot of people can make, if people have, it's like the if Nintendo is saying we want you to make these games, people will go and make them.
The problem again is that Nintendo can't be too selective, or you end up with the N64 situation. And if they're just kind of like, we want you to make games, you end up with the Wii situation. They need some type of middle ground where they like, they have some type of control on the stuff that comes out of their system, but not where they're handpicking teams to work on their system.
I think if they like handpicked Roxy and said, hey, we want you to make Angry Birds for us, I think they would be more than happy to.
I'm sure, but I mean, on the same hand, should Nintendo go after every tiny developer and say, you know, you have this interesting concept, we want it, when it's already this game that's already out on everything else? They want something. They want the next Angry Birds, but you don't always know where that's coming from.
Yeah, but I don't. I think, like, to take the example of Angry Birds, because it's such a popular game, I think that if someone wanted to have an iPhone and a 3DS, I think Angry Birds is the sort of thing that people would buy, even if they've got it on the iPhone, they would buy Angry Birds again on their 3DS.
I have a friend, and he told me this yesterday. He has Angry Bird on his Mac, on his iPad, his PS3, and his PSP.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
That's insane, but
yeah,
people will. I have Bejeweled on multiple things. I have Peggle on two things. So, you know, people will do that. I'm just saying that Nintendo, you don't want to just go after the people who already made popular games. You want to kind of find people who can make the next Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja or whatever. And you don't, so you kind of want to be open to people making that. And I'm sure they are, because most of the stuff on WiiWare kind of sucks. And I'm assuming it's because they're finding these no-names who are trying to make games for themselves.
I think the problem with WiiWare, though, is its file size limit.
There's that, and I think that when developers want to bring out their baby, their project that is them, they want to put it out on the best type of hardware possible. Take, for example, the developers of Super Meat Boy. Now, they wanted to bring it to Wii, but in addition to the file limit that wouldn't let them, they got it to Xbox and PC first because those were most accommodating to their best game they could make.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
And I'm assuming Nintendo's zoning, and I'm assuming the 3DS volume is going to be bigger than 48 megabytes, because if you remember when the Wii came out, it only had, 512 megabytes of internal storage.
Yeah.
Well, the DS is starting out with four times that.
Yeah, so, I'm assuming.
And an SD card slot, too.
Yeah, the SD.
But the Wii has an SD card slot, it's just they didn't use it at the start. I'm surprised they haven't raised the cap yet, but, you know. Because it has shot them in the legs more than once recently.
Raised the cap for the SD card?
The cap of the game.
Yeah, the file size limit.
The problem is, of course, that you still need... It still needs to be a file that's small, because the games don't run off of SD cards. They transfer onto the system.
I thought they do now.
Is this a 3DS or the Wii?
No, the Wii.
We're talking...
They store them on the SD card and they load, but in order for them to load, you have to have the room for them on the console, because it kind of transfers the information back to the console.
Well, basically, they can fix that, the 3DS then.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, I'm assuming it's something they're working on and improving.
To launch straight from the SD card instead of having to move it to the system first.
Or maybe more internal memory on the system itself.
Or both.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't mind the SD card system. It's just there because it loads up pretty fast. It's just that one of those minor things where you have to make sure you have enough room to load it on your console. And I've already ran into that ache once or twice.
And that's not user friendly, is it?
It's not. I guess it's not bad if you know that. I don't keep anything on the system anymore. I just keep it on the SD card. But yeah, anything else on the 3DS?
Its battery life sucks, or if we already mentioned that last week?
I think we mentioned that the first time they had the conference.
Supposedly, as bad as the battery life is, I think it's full 3D, and I think that non-3D, if you take the slider all the way off, I thought that projection bumped up a couple hours.
Yeah, if you turn it
off. It is. The 3D taxes it a lot.
The 3 to 5 hours, from what I understand, is 3D on at max and Wi-Fi.
The 3DE, the problem is if I was buying something named 3DS, I want 3D with it anyway.
Yeah, which I understand, yeah. But you don't want, do you always want it on full intense 3D?
Like, I would, find, if I bought it.
I want
it.
All of my games in intense 3D.
I was about to say that maybe you find that if you have Egg halfway down, it's better for you to see.
Like, being someone that's played it, there are a few games, for example, Ridge Racer, that actually work better at half 3D, but maybe that's just because that game sucks.
I was about to say, Ridge Racer probably works better not in your system.
Yeah, it probably works better as toilet paper.
Works best in the trash can.
But Namco needs something. I don't know what other major franchises they got.
Soul Calibur.
And when was that Soul Calibur we got? 2008?
2007? 2007 was 4, and Broken Destiny was 2000...
The problem with that is...
It's a PSP game.
The problem with that is the 3DS already has 2 fighting games.
Yes, well, it has Street Fighter and it has Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
One of them is a fighting game. One of them is just holding down the counting button.
One of them is just looking at boob jiggles.
In 3D, so I mean that could be a system seller if you market it right.
Yeah, they need some. They need a Extreme Beach Volleyball on there.
Then you cornered a tween market.
But
I mean, I think that should be it for the 3DS. And it's taking up almost 45 minutes. But I wanted to touch on the Square conference because they also announced a bunch of games or showed
a bunch
stuff
of Final Fantasy 13 games.
I wanted to jump and touch on that later, but
they're reviving Final Fantasy?
They're reviving Final Fantasy. Not only are they reviving it, but they're pretty much branding it on everything. I think they're going to rename their company to Final Fantasy NX. Because there's what? Final Fantasy 13 2, there's Final Fantasy Versus 13, there's Final Fantasy Type 0.
Yep. Which used to be Agitate 13.
Yeah. And then there's like Final Fantasy Dissident 2?
Oh, the name for that game is
Dissidia,
insane.
Duodecim 12-0 Final Fantasy.
Okay. So, yeah, that one. And then they had Kingdom Hearts 3D, which is Dreams Drop Distance? Is that what it is? It's those three words. I don't know the order.
It sounds right. It's three words that start with D, because it's 3D. Get it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, hey, I really wish they would stop doing that.
I don't mind
it happens
if it's
to every Nintendo console.
I don't mind if it's smart and clever. Like,
Trauma
Center had Derek Stiles for the DS.
Yeah. If it's something clever like that, or Advance Wars, called?
Dual Strike?
Yeah. How about Battalion Wars Wii? Is it Battalion Wars 2
Wii?
That's my favorite one.
Wii was tight.
So yeah, if it's clever like that, but if it's like, oh crap, we named 3D, we need to give the 3D a reason, then it's a bad thing. Like, or if it's like just throwing 3DS at the end of everything. Like,
I mean, to be fair, having a subtitle with 3D words is more clever than just saying 3D.
It is.
I mean, if it's
not
a little annoying, it's, I mean, I don't know.
I would rather straight up say 3D than try and pussyfoot around it.
But you are going to say 3D. It's Kingdom Hearts 3D. 3D just stands for Dream Drop Distance or
it would be,
Distance Drop Dreams or whatever.
It would be a marketing mistake not to put 3D at the end of it.
Yeah, it's like Namco when they had Wii Ski. I mean, granted, it's not spelled the same, but phonically you hear Wii and you think, oh, this is going to be good or, you know, I should buy
this. Look at New Super Mario Brothers on the DS. I mean, you have the casual, you know, the kids that have the DS and they say, hey, this is new. Because it says New Super Mario Brothers, let's buy it.
Yeah, the problem with that is, of course, now they got, what are they going to call it? New Super Mario Brothers 3DS? Well, I guess they could do that on New Super Mario Brothers.
They could just say...
They could probably just call it Super Mario Brothers 3D or something.
The problem is then you end up with, you know, is it Super Mario Brothers 3 in 3D?
Well, maybe they should have thought about that before they put New in front of a title that's now 3 or 4 years old.
Well, it's 5, 6 years old. They came out in 2005, I believe.
I would anyway, say back to the, well for them.
You go.
Back to the Square
conference. So, there's a bunch of Final Fantasy stuff, especially if you're Final Fantasy 13 fans. So, like, the five people out there...
It's the same Chad's not here.
Yeah, I was about to say, the biggest problem I have with Final Fantasy 13-2 is because it was such a mixed game, is that you kind of cut the user base or people who are going to buy that in half, because it's only going to be fans of Final Fantasy 13 who beat the game, because I don't know anybody who wants to play a direct sequel to a game that they haven't finished.
Yeah, and I know there was a lot of people that I know a lot of Final Fantasy fans that didn't like Final Fantasy X-2, so they're kind of thinking, is it going to end up like X-2? Exactly.
And
I think Square would be better off to just stick to not doing sequels to their Final Fantasy games.
Honestly, at this point, the reason I'm saying is that they really needed to make money off that engine. The game was, 5 years in development, and it really wouldn't befit them to do Final Fantasy 15. So, they're like, we have this engine, we have these character assets, we can turn around
else.
And make
it. It's so hard for Square Enix to do something else.
Well, yes, here's the other thing, too. They could easily just take all the criticism and make 13-2 a game that's completely based around, like, what the second half of 13-1 was. You know, where it's more open. Because that was the major criticism, was that it was so linear that Final Fantasy fans, like, freaked out. So that would be an easy fix, and I guarantee you anybody who loves Final Fantasy and hated 13 for that reason will jump on it right away.
The problem, again, is from a story standpoint, it's like, do you want to continue a game with characters and stuff, events that you might not be familiar with because you didn't finish 13?
But it's not like Mass Effect where you're bringing in your actual story decisions, you know, it's just another part of the same story.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like if you were to see, like if you saw Lord of the Rings and you didn't see the first one but you saw the last two, would you have watched the last two without seeing the first one?
But you could, because it's still a self-contained story.
Well, we don't know how much.
Continues. And the movie is completely different, though, because you can watch the prior movie in 2 hours. Well, Lord of the Rings, maybe not.
Yeah, but I was just giving you an example of something like that.
You know,
where, like, if
not everyone's going to want to play 40 hours just to catch up on some stupid story.
Which is my point, is why I don't think it's going to do as well as 13. Because it's kind of like what Pac they used to say about why people didn't buy the GTA downloadable content, is that nobody ever finished GTA 4. So, like, why do you want more content for a game you haven't beat yet? I mean, who knows? Maybe Square will turn it around, they'll get towns and stuff. Or maybe it's just the content they cut from Final Fantasy 13 made into a game.
That would annoy me so much. Even though I'm not going to get that game, I can tell you now, that would annoy me so much if they did that. Because I hate it when developers cut content.
Well, I mean, like, sometimes content has to be cut.
Yeah, sometimes it has to be cut.
Super Mario Galaxy 2 says hi, and it was a pretty good game,
with the Gears of War 2 single-player expansion thing, it was just one campaign, so that was all right. And they gave it to us back. But, I know, if you're going to make a whole game out of cut content...
Super Mario Galaxy 2!
Well, that was more ideas than content, and they've fleshed it out well, but yeah, it's kind of the same idea.
Well, how do you know that Square...
No, I'm just saying it's the same idea. They had a lot of ideas they couldn't do in the time, and they already had the engine and assets, so why not make a direct sequel? It's money-saving for them. They don't have to start from scratch. They have a universe, they have worlds and stuff like that already.
Yeah.
The problem with the problem is, if you ask me, Final Fantasy 13 would have been the worst one for a sequel. Because I could not get into the story whatsoever. And I knew a lot of people who felt the same way. They just didn't give a crap about the story because it was people just saying the same words without there being any real explanation.
Yeah,
like,
I like the story to some extent. It just took too long to move. It was just too slowly paced. Like, and there, I think they have, like, some interesting characters and stuff, but I don't know. The whole game was pretty much, like, a halfway success.
Well, now you get the other half of the success, and you get a full game.
There you go.
And then there's Agito 13 and Versus 13.
Type
and
Zero?
Like...
Yes, I'm kind of, like, I don't know, I don't really follow Square Enix that much, because I assume Final Fantasy 13 2 is a sequel. Where do Versus 13 and Type Zero fit into the?
I don't know.
So, the way they explained it when they originally announced all three was that none of them are directly related, and none of them are even in the same universe, but they share the same mythology or something like that. It's really confusing. I don't know why they even bothered.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to. Like, they could have just like branded these. Like, I don't get why they don't do some of these as like spinoffs or trying to. Because right now, all they have is Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts as franchises. They have Dragon Quest, but they don't really treat that as a Square thing.
Well, because it's not. It's an Enix.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's one company.
Yeah, but it's not really.
Yeah, it was just my point. You should have. It shouldn't be like, okay, you know, we have our Square people here. Then we got those Enix guys over there. And if like with Dragon Quest, like even Dragon Quest, what, 9? And I think Dragon Quest 6 were all published in the States by Nintendo. So it's like Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts, and they just kind of alternate between those two franchises, which kind of gets annoying after a while. Because there are a lot of games I think suffer from being Final Fantasy games.
Like, well, I think that's why, you know, to them, Final Fantasy is just becoming this weird thing, because it's not like all the Final Fantasy games are the same. You know, you have like, not that they're all good, but like you have them trying to do different things, like Dissidia or like Dirge of Cerberus, that action game on PS2, or, you know, or Versus 13 is supposed to be like completely different. And yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Like, why they're not related? Why do they both have 13 in the name? That's
they can. It's not hard to have games that have the same sort of mythology, but are completely separate. Like, I don't know if any of you knew this, but you know, Saints Row and Red Faction are made by the same company.
Yeah, Volition.
Yeah, so they share the same. Believe it or not, they share the same sort of universe. But they don't specifically say it, but they share the same universe.
Yeah, it's kind of like Halo Marathon, where Bungie kind of ties in some of that mythology, but it's never, you know, it's not stated that it's like a direct lineage from that.
Yeah,
it works that way. You don't have to, you know, you shouldn't have branded it Halo Marathon or something dumb like that. And I think Square kind of does that. I mean. Yeah, because they're games that you hear Final Fantasy and it comes with these expectations, which kind of makes you prejudge some games that don't necessarily need to be Final Fantasy.
Oh, are these games, are Agito and Versus 13 specifically branded Final Fantasy?
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy.
Well, what they could have done is they could have just cut the Final Fantasy from it. Called it released Agito and Versus 13 and as Agito.
Well, I mean, Versus 13 would sound weird without Final Fantasy.
Well, they could name it something different though, or they could pull an Infinity Ward and brand it something different, but then stick Final Fantasy on the box in really tiny font so that Joe Smith knows it's a Final Fantasy game, but really it's not. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
at
works.
Some point you dilute in the brand. It's like, oh, this is a Final Fantasy.
Wait,
but that way they get the Final Fantasy box. It helps them sell it, and at the same time, they're building a secondary brand. Like, you don't need to call Modern Warfare Call of Duty anymore. People know what it is.
I think that's true, but I think Call of Duty is the bigger brand still.
It is, and that's why it's still in the box.
Crystal Chronicles is a similar thing.
Crystal Chronicles is, in a lot of ways, its own brand. But the Final Fantasy is still there, but they're not like, this is a Final Fantasy game.
But they
you know?
Are, but it kind of, it's like Final, and at this point, Crystal Chronicles should have been its own brand because there's, what, 5 games in the universe or something like that?
But that's what I'm saying. It basically is.
Yeah, and it just gets kind of annoying when you have, like, the last one was Final Fantasy, Crystal Chronicles, the Crystal Bearers, where you have, like, this huge title. And you could have just cut out Final Fantasy because it really, really doesn't have anything to do with Final Fantasy. And because it was branded to Final Fantasy, you kind of expect certain RPG elements that the game lacks.
That subtitle was almost as long as Club Penguin Elite Penguin Force here at the bench.
The best title ever.
Best title ever. I mean, it was our winner for best subtitle of 2010, so.
2011, you're up.
I'm sure Square would do something with Final Fantasy. But is there anything else on the Square conference that people want to touch on?
No. Well, Type Zero, what's this Type Zero thing?
I don't know. Type Zero still sounds like a racing game to me.
It was the formerly called Agito 13 that started as a Japanese mobile game, then got moved to PSP.
So.
And it's apparently coming out this summer, finally, but.
Yay.
And it's may or may not be related to Final Fantasy 13, but it's not really. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not. This is why I don't play Square games.
And I guess we can wrap up the news segment with two release dates. Mortal Kombat is set for April 19th. Release date, I believe.
I need to write that down because I know I've kind of been. I'm not a fighting game person, but I've been. I kind of like Mortal Kombat.
I think most people. Mortal Kombat's a simple fighter. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think most of it.
It's guts in it. Who doesn't like blood and guts?
Yeah, I think most of it is that are. Because it's not a semi-circle, full circle, it's usually just back, forward, and stuff like that, which I think are easier for most people to comprehend, and like full circle, back circle, and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of the same idea, but it's more lenient, I guess, and
yeah.
You can usually press the same buttons on any character and get some type of special move.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, my friend just brought over Mortal Kombat vs. DCU last night, and I played that for the first time, and was surprised at how fun it is still.
It's a very fun game. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's not like a technically great fighter, like a, you know, but it's just like, it's a fun game.
It's a fun game, and I think it's a pretty good fighter. I think most people have issues with it because of the DC. It's not really gory, but yeah, you know, you get a lot of different strategies with each character and counters and stuff, and you get a bunch of different types of, you know, like you can brawl in midair when you're falling down, and whoever's at the bottom takes the most damage when you finally hit and stuff like that. It has a bunch of cool little mini games inside of the fighting core itself. And the other big release date is the one that everybody's been waiting for. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I was in junior high school when this game was announced.
Duke Nukem
Forever.
I was like 5 years old.
I realistically thought that was never coming out ever.
I'm assuming
most people did.
Once we hit the 10-year mark, I was like, okay, that's done.
10-year mark? I think most people gave up faith after the 5-year mark. Then again, it's like Too Human, which I never thought was going to see the light of day, and I'm sure Silicon Knights wish it hadn't.
I don't think anybody enjoyed that game.
Oh, well, somebody enjoyed that game here. But yes, Duke Nukem Forever lives on May 3rd, 2011. And I think most people are just going to buy that game I'm just going to buy it and, like, frame it to show that it actually came out.
We did it!
I mean, this game has been in the making half of my lifetime.
That's crazy.
It is when you think about it. I mean, there's no other game that has had... I mean, granted, it's not the same Duke Nukem Forever that was first announced, but... Yeah, it's a huge accomplishment. And it's by people who made Borderlands, so I'm kind of on board for that.
Kind of. I mean, they're finishing it. It's not really their game, but... No, I know. Gearbox is still a good studio and a good first-person shooter studio, so, you know...
I find it odd there's no reticule.
Like Golden
Eye. I think there is if they just don't have it in any of the footage. Because I can't imagine a first-person shooter nowadays without a crosshair.
Yeah, but
people
even
when
they showed it at PAX, it didn't have a reticule, so...
Yeah, but that was unfinished then.
Yeah, but I mean, this is still, 3 months out and they didn't
I made the mistake of assuming Fable 3 had no health bar because I assumed the build I was playing at the time was unfinished and it turned out it doesn't actually have a health bar.
So, yeah, it's...
I don't know. I would assume that it does. Although I could still play Timesplit, it's too fine, so I don't really need reticule.
You're just gonna keep on bringing it up for yourself, huh?
No, not just for him, but for me too.
Maybe yeah, I support it as it. Also.
Oh, I'm sure we all want a Timesplit in this game. It's just kind of we know.
Yeah,
it's
but Timesplit is
so sad
the most
that Free Radical got shut down, and we're not getting Timesplitters 4 till God
knows. Or Battlefront 3.
Yeah.
So I'm with it.
It lives on in spirit. I'm actually surprised they haven't. Well, I guess Free Radical goes down, but I'm surprised they haven't done any HD Xbox Live Arcade or PSN version of it.
They were going to.
They won.
And then they got shut down. They said they were going to do a HD remake of Timesplitters 2, and then they got shut down.
I just want to shoot people with a monkey.
You can do what I do and run a PS2 emulator.
Yeah,
but that would require you to have a really good PC because it really, even I can't run it right.
Does it? Is it backwards compatible in the 360?
Two, I don't know. Three is.
You can't play any Timesplitters games on 360.
No.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Sure. Believe me.
I'm assuming he's checked.
No, I trust you. I trust you.
Well, good thing I have always existed as fully backwards compatible and a version of it that works, so.
I mean, you could play it on Wii, play the GameCube version.
Yeah, which is perfectly fine with. I don't think it was one of those.
Release date, by the way.
Which one is? I knew there was one.
LA Noire, May 19th. Can't wait. Yeah,
it's actually a pretty packed first. Well, actually, I guess it is a pretty packed first quarter, well, first half again.
Still no games in summer.
Yeah, yeah. That's not going to happen again.
No, that's Arena not going to happen. June never going to happen. That's,
Red
that's
Faction,
not,
Armageddon? No.
Even then, that's before the summer. I mean, we're talking about Gantz and J.I. in August. Like, you'll get Madden, but that's pretty much the extent of it right now.
Wait, when does Red Faction Armageddon come out? I need to...
I thought that was June, no?
If it is June, then I love Volition.
May Red Faction Guerrilla was June, I think. Well, here's the thing, I mean, a few years ago, there was no games in the first half, really, either, so it's gonna take the first half getting overcrowded, and people are gonna delay into summer.
The thing is, Jason, is a few years ago, Call of Duty wasn't the most, the top-selling entertainment thing of all time, so.
It isn't.
Right, but then, okay, look at it this way.
Whatever.
Rockstar is pretty much staking out May as their month to release games now, it seems like, because they have LA Noire this year, they had Red Dead Redemption last year, and they already pushed Max Payne 3 into next year, so it's a safe bet to say that'll come out in May too. That's a sales juggernaut as well that people are also going to want to avoid, and if they can delay 2 months and get another million units, why not?
Yeah, but I mean, like, what games would you see being delayed? Because I mean, there's a bunch of games.
If Remedy and Microsoft knew just how big Red Dead Redemption was going to be, you don't think they would have pushed back Alan Wake another till July or June?
I think they would have pushed up Alan Wake. I don't think, because Microsoft has that kind of, because they had like Alpha Protocol in June. They had Crackdown 2 in July, and they had.
Okay,
like,
but the point is.
I get your point, but the
same way people move out of the fall to get out of Call of Duty's way, people are going to start moving out of Q2 to get out of Rockstar's way. Because they have that much swing. And this isn't even their main brand. Just wait till they drop GTA 5, which could be in May also.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was going to point out that on your theory that GTA 4 came out in April of 2008.
There you go. So, I mean, it's... There you go.
Yeah, it's actually smart business if you have, I mean, Nintendo's done, I mean, it's to the same point, Mario Kart and Smash Bros. Were March and April games. Mario Galaxy was a May game last year, so, you know, it's nice that people, it's just that 3 months, June, July, and August, that people seem to, and it's kind of September, I mean, September's traditionally Halo's month, because I think
Halo is September, yeah.
All of them
ODST and 3 have all come out in September. Yeah. But other than that, I haven't really, because we have a lot of games in November, and I don't see them moving, like Uncharted and Oblivion 4 or Meryl, whatever it's called. Or what else do we have in November? I mean, we have
Skyrim, Uncharted 3. Oh, you said that.
Yeah.
Call of Duty.
So I'm assuming that
Halo Combat Evolved Remake.
If that comes out,
it's gonna be September. Gears of War is probably a November game.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's just kind of, you know, people could spread it out. The thing is, nobody wants to get out of November because then, you know, if you get December, you might miss the Black Friday sales and stuff like that. And Q1, I mean, like this month we had DC Universe on and we had Little Big Planet 2 and Mass Effect 2 for the PS3.
I just can't wait until people start moving out of Rockstar's way so I can actually have some games to buy in.
Actually, when is Mass Effect 3? That's this year as well. Is that November?
November. Well, they haven't said, actually. It's technically holiday, but we'll see.
Yeah, so it might be November.
I can't see it coming earlier than November, honestly.
Yeah, I would actually put it in January. I mean, that seems to work for them. It would be 3 years in a row.
I wouldn't be surprised. But they did say this year.
Yeah, and they said Mass Effect 2 was going to come out in 2009, so.
No, they didn't, though. They just said...
Yeah, it was. It was delayed because of Modern Warfare 2 into January.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought that they said winter of that year and just never said a specific date. And people obviously assumed it was fall, but then they were like, oh, yeah, January. And they're like,
I think they had it because it came out, January, I want to say like the second week of January. And I think it was because, okay, we don't have to go into this because this is already running long. So, is there any other news this week that we might have missed in the wake of like 15 conferences and stuff?
The 3DS has a terrible battery life.
Thank you for reminding us. At next week, we have the PSP, Sony's preview show, and rumors is that they might announce a PSP.
Can I throw out my PSP theory on this podcast? That
the
PlayStation phone and the PSP 2 are two branches of the same platform.
Which would make the most sense.
But it would. But people talk about the PSP phone like it's a PSP 1 phone.
The PSP phone's really branded Xperia, so it's not a PSP.
No, but they could, that could, I don't know. They could still, you know, in a commercial or something, could be like, Xperia Play, PlayStation, I don't know. But it would be like, the reasoning behind this is that it would basically be Sony's version of the iPhone, iPod Touch, like, two-pronged attack. Except the PSP 2 obviously would be a much better gaming system than an iPod Touch.
Well, first of all, it'd be a better system than the phone as well, because it won't be based on Android, which is a problem, but it'll be a massive headache for Sony. But anyway, that's a nice idea, actually.
Okay, so, I mean, we'll be back next week with a bunch of PSP news, I assume. Whatever Sony decides to announce this big event, I mean, it could be a surprise to anybody.
We don't have any idea whatsoever what they've been planning.
So, when was the last time you said that we'll be back with a lot of PSP news?
Never. Nope.
When was any time somebody said we'd be back with... I mean, the PSP was huge before the PSP was official.
Yeah, well, the PSP, everyone thought it was going to be the nail in the DS's coffin, and...
Are you guys telling me that you still don't watch UMDs on your PSP movies?
Do they even sell UMDs anymore?
Probably because they're so wanted, they wanted to make them collectibles.
Remember, the Universal Media Discs, you can play them on anything as long as it's a PSP.
Anything.
Not a PSP Go. So.
No, not that.
Oh.
So some of the PSPs you can use them on. But yeah, I mean, it's one of the times where Sony's new technology kind of bit them in the ass.
Bit them in the ass all the time.
Here's the thing.
No, the CD and the DVD player and the PlayStation and the PlayStation 2 helped them out. Because at the time they were like, you know, it was a new technology and they were cheap. But the Blu-ray player kind of jacked up the price of the PS3. And that bit them in the ass.
Gotta love Sony and their marketing.
Well, I'm kind of, I guess we can wrap this up on the PSP talk. But, I mean, what do you want, or what should Sony do with a PSP 2?
Games. I want games.
That's they need to do what Nintendo has already done with the 3DS, which is promise
games.
And show that they're going to have a regular release schedule of quality games.
I was about to say, because Sony, I mean, the PSP, to an extent, had much larger...
I don't want console ports, because I'll play my console games on my huge TV with my nice speakers, and I don't want them on a stupid device that cost me
$300. That's exactly
it. I was going to say, that was the issue, because...
Hopefully with the PSP 2, MP4s will work without needing to faff about with them, and hopefully it'll have two thumbsticks so you can actually play some decent games on them, and hopefully that's... Actually have a set usable web browser. Not that one would need it, but...
I find it funny that not most people aren't harping on Nintendo for the fact that they only have one dual analog stick.
The thing is it has two analog sticks.
If you use the touchscreen.
Sucks if you're left-handed like me.
Yeah, but... actually, you got a point there, and I'm left-handed as well.
Yeah, and that looks like it's going to be very interesting to see you folks fake it.
We'll just have to play it southpaw.
Well, no, I suppose if you say you've got a Metroid Prime game where the analog thing, the circle pad, as they call it, is the move, and the touchscreen is to look around, they could just swap them around.
You could, if they're going to go Metroid style, I could honestly do a Metroid Prime style control scheme where, it, you know, like it did with a GameCube, where hitting left turns left.
Yeah.
I mean, because Kid Icarus has some of those controls where it has a... That's the thing, though. I don't get how Kid Icarus would kind of work. because like some of the motions are kind of mapped to how you move the stylus. Like you quick turn by swiping left or right.
Mm.
So I don't, I mean, I guess it might be easier if you're aiming with an analog stick.
Honestly, in my opinion, I don't think that you need to have a control, like a joystick. I think that, you know, the shooters on DS work just as well just by using the face buttons. So like when I was playing Metroid on the DS, I used the A, B, X, Y buttons to move around and the left hand of my stylus to look around.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm not a huge fan of shooters on the DS.
Yeah, well,
that's just the control scheme.
You,
it's just like a PC.
The looking around is the joystick would be much more important for looking around than moving around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think, I mean, Sony, I mean, PSP had huge third-party support. I mean, even from Sony, you had, two God of War games, you had several Grand Theft Autos, you had a couple of Metal Gear Solid games, you had... So, I mean, I don't think it was a lack of quality games. I just think that Sony really shouldn't have tried to minimize the console front onto the handheld, because that's not what people were looking for.
Because the different games that you play on the console and on a handheld.
And you play on the handhelds, which is why games like Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja work on a phone, and they probably wouldn't have done as well if they were $50 retail
games.
Yeah,
but even games like Pokemon, because Pokemon's not a small game by any means, but you can still just put it down and pick it back up again.
Yeah, I was about to say, the reason Pokemon works is because it's kind of like a game where you can...
You can start at any stop at any point, start at any point, and realize, oh, I was doing this.
The Pokemon's like the perfect type of handheld game where you can play it as long as you want, but you can stop at any time, which is why it works on the handheld.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like Tetris or even Monster Hunter. You do a quest, you turn off the game, you're set. Where at like console RPGs, you have to like search for an hour to find a checkpoint.
And I think Sony need to, and the third-party developers need to concentrate on games that work with handhelds. And not.
The problem is that Sony, it's like Sony gives them the tools. Like, people are saying like this is what half as powerful as the PS3, and it's like we want to make these huge, powerful games, and it's like that's not what people want on the handheld front. Like, I'm sure they want good graphics.
I can't wait to see that battery life.
It charges for 5 hours. Yes, it's for two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't the 3DS take like 3 or 4 hours to charge? Why? My iPhone charges fully in like 25 minutes. Why can't all batteries be like that? It doesn't last very long there, but at least it charges quickly. It kind of messes up.
It dies on me all the time, but it charges in no time.
Does it have a different charging life if you're plugging it in rather than just setting it in the dock?
Well, no, because the dock would be plugged in.
Right, yeah, but if it's through convection
rather than... All the dock is... It's just a bit of plastic for it to sit in.
And it looks nice. You can just fade in your living room.
I thought when you set it on it, it charged immediately for, like, induction.
No.
I have no idea.
Like, power
and
match?
Again, induction charging is too much of a gimmick for Nintendo.
I was about to say, it also depends. With Nintendo, they're usually really conservative with their numbers. Like, I assume that 3 to 5 hours probably means that it lasts more closer to 5 hours. Because they tend to be one of the companies that's opposite of overhyping, and it's usually like kind of, 3 to 5 hours, and this is, you know, just in case it dies in 3 hours, we can say we told you, but I don't see it asking for just 3 hours, because like the DS I think is like 8 to 10 hours, and you can usually get 12, 14 out of that thing.
Yeah, that's true. My DS lasted longer than they told me. And Nintendo, I mean, we've already seen they err on the side of caution a lot, like with the eye warning.
Warning for
stuff.
The 3D, which... Yeah. Apparently doesn't work. I mean, it's not a problem. But yeah, again, it's the same thing with the reason why your Wii console always starts with that. This game might cause seizures warning.
Yeah.
They'd rather be safe than sorry. Which works.
It's also just a litigation or a lawsuit happy world.
Yeah, I mean, look how, I mean, if you get what the Wii started as, I mean, now you get the rubber condoms, you get the stronger wrist straps, you get this warning that it might cause seizures. They're just really, really don't want to get in trouble for anything.
You watch, someone in America will sue Nintendo because the battery life is longer than advertised. I called it.
I went on a plan trip, I expected this to last 5 hours, it lasted me 5.5, I'm suing you.
Or like it'd be like you know the case of that woman who was texting on her phone and she fell into a fountain. She'll blame Nintendo for it.
Is she suing?
She sues them all because the security guards wouldn't help her out of the fountain.
That's like when fat people try to sue McDonald's. It's like really...
But it works in America, unfortunately.
Well, if you get a good attorney, it works. But I think
they can sue, but that doesn't mean they win.
Yeah, but yeah. In the case of McDonald's, the person who sued won.
Okay, I think we can wrap this up for this week. Yeah, it was a huge news week, but I mean, hopefully you folks weren't paying anything too important. So, for Anthony, Jason, and Dillion, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding Episode 17.
Catch you guys later.